feel free to jump in on the ad, guys, and we can make it a group thing. I know how much Leander's into that. I kill me. Who said that? Do you guys remember?
No, who
he
did
ate,
that?
He was an alien. He ate cats. No? No.
No.
His name was Alf.
Alf?
So you know.
Leander, you probably never watched Alf, did you?
Was it a really dreadful cartoon?
it was a cartoon almost. For a while, yeah.
It was like Muppets meets Who's the Boss.
And he ate cats?
Yeah, it was his favorite food. All right, let's start the show. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah. I'm here with my friends and Apple Cracker Jacks, Leander Caney.
I was going to say Apple Crackers.
That would actually be a lot better. I should have said that. Buster Hine is with us. Hey, Buster.
Hey, racist.
Yeah, right. Hey, dude, that wasn't me. That was Leander who said that.
Let's back up. Let's start this again.
No, that was perfect.
I don't want to be saying.
It wasn't racist. You called those crackers, which are enjoyable treats that you can eat with your soup. Do you guys know why I called you Cracker Jacks?
Why?
I was looking for a new word, and I normally call you guys experts, which is highly appropriate, of course, but I used thesaurus.com to come up with a better word. And
you used the source?
Thesaurus.
Like, oh, I thought you were like saying the source. Like,
yeah.
I
I don't even know who that is. I probably should, though, right? I should say, before this show gets any worse, we are sponsored by Audible this week. The Audible, the best place on the internet to get your audio books. I love Audible, and I love audiobooks. So we're going to tell you a little bit about them later in the show. And we're also going to tell you how you can get a free audiobook. 100% free. Free. Works on any MP3 player. And actually, I've got some book recommendations too. So I want to thank Audible for sponsoring the show. Hey, guys, can I start with a little story?
Sure.
Something weird happened to me. And you guys know I normally... I normally ream the carriers, right? They make me really angry. And so this thing happened that I actually want to give AT&T some praise. And I actually think this is a little strange. So you guys tell me what you think about this. So got some iPhone 5s on my plan, right? And we qualified for a discount, and they said they were gonna waive our activation fees. You know, those ridiculous $36 activation fees that you get charged when you buy a new phone. And so they're like, you need to call back once the activation fees have been charged and we'll waive them for you. So I'm like, okay, great. Get the phones, get the activation fees. My bill is ridiculously high and it's like $232. So I call them and I'm like, what's going on? My bill seems kind of high. And plus you guys told me to call back when the activation fees are on there so you could waive them. And the guy was very nice. And he was like, oh, okay, well, let me look into this. And he's typing and typing and typing. And I'm on hold and he's being very pleasant. And he's like, oh yeah, here are the activation fees. He's like, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and waive your entire bill. Is that okay? And I was like, I was confused. I was like, let me repeat what you said to me so I make sure I can understand. I'm like, are you telling me you're going to waive my whole bill so I don't have to pay it? And he's like, yeah, is that okay? And I'm like, does anyone ever argue with you on that? And he kind of chuckled and he was like, no, sir, they never do. And I was like, so my bill is $0 this month? And he was like, yes, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, of course that's okay. Have you guys ever heard of anything like that happening?
No, not at all. Who was that with?
It was with AT&T. This just happened like a week ago.
Sure enough,
I got an email and later that day and it said your bill has been waived, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your business.
Crikey.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of wondering if maybe my account is flagged because they know I do a podcast. I mean, we only have like 150 listeners, so it's not like
exactly,
we have a lot of power. But, you know... Do you guys think that's possible? Because isn't that totally bizarre? I have never heard of anything like that happening. And I mean, it's not like I was even mad. I was just calling because they said they were going to waive the fees, and I was really nice about it.
It must be gone on, what do they call it? You know, a nice blitz, a nice campaign. What,
yeah, what's the word? Maybe they heard you talking crap about Verizon or about AT&T, and they wanted to keep you from going to Verizon.
Yeah, your constant whining.
Yeah, I do whine a lot. Yeah. Well, but it just goes to show that gets you somewhere in life.
When people were upgrading to the iPhone 5 at AT&T, they were giving out $250 worth of vouchers to be used in the store. So, you know, as a sort of loyalty, as a reward for, you know, for sticking with AT&T.
Uh-huh.
And they said to me a couple of times, "Oh, thanks for sticking with us," you know, and they were making a big deal about that. Huh. Because I think there was a lot, they were afraid there were going to be a lot of switches with the iPhone 5.
And rightly so. I mean, Verizon's 4G network or the LTE network is way better than AT&T's. I mean, of course, their plans are also more expensive. Actually, that's not true. If you're going as a new customer to either carrier, they're actually quite similar. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there because you guys, you've heard me before, get really angry and really heated and say a lot of bad things about both carriers. So, you know, I just wanted to show that I'm fair and balanced. They did something cool. And I want to tell you guys about it. But let's talk about some Apple rumors. It's time to take a trip to the rumor mill. Not really a whole lot's going on, but let's talk about MacBooks and MacBook Pros. Buster, I think this was actually your piece that you wrote about.
I write so much.
Dude, you brought it. You brought it. You brought it on this piece. I was moved. It was, it was a powerful piece. And basically your point was that by the end of Q4, which is rapidly approaching, we should be seeing some 13-inch MacBook Pros with Retina displays, which is exciting, right? Because the 15-inch Retina display MacBook Pros are kind of expensive, so these ones will probably be much less expensive.
Yeah, more for like regular consumers than professionals.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't think about switching. You guys are both using Airs. Actually, never mind. Leander, you're using an iPad.
Yeah, I've got rid of my MacBook altogether.
Which is just totally insane. Buster, would you consider moving to a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The 11-inch MacBook Air is just an amazing computer, I think.
Yeah, so you still are in love with it.
Yeah, I still love that computer a lot.
Interesting. Well, I might be interested because I really like having the extra graphics chip. So the resolution on the 13-inch MacBook Pro is going to be a little bit is reportedly supposed to be a little bit less than the 15-inch. Of course, it's supposed to be 2560 by 1600. This comes from Richard Shim, an analyst from Display Research. So definitely keep in mind that he's an analyst. So and analysts report all sorts of stuff. What?
Yeah. I'm just saying. So he might be wrong.
Oh. Yes, that's very true. And let's talk a little bit about the iPad mini. You know, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast, I asked our listeners if they were excited about an iPad mini and if they would buy one if it got released. And actually, I was really surprised. Everyone, it seemed to be the consensus, was really excited about it and would upgrade to it even if they already had an iPad. Which, in a way, strangely made me more excited about it, because even though I have an iPad 3,
caught up in the excitement.
Yeah, I felt like I had another iPhone 5 moment where I was like, "Yeah, it's kind of cool."
They're buying it sight unseen,
right? But we're hearing rumors that the iPad Mini might be Wi-Fi only, and might come alongside an updated iPad 3, which would include better LTE support and, of course, the Lightning connector. The iPad Mini rumor is, it seems like it could be true to me. I mean, it's supposed to be an inexpensive device, right? I can't imagine they would offer an inexpensive device with an LTE radio in it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it really shouldn't be that expensive if Apple wants it to compete against like the Kindle Fire HD and those type of tablets, but also make it like a cheap tablet for education as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it'll be like more than 500 or more than like 400, like with the 32 or 64 storage.
Leander, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's got to be $299, right, for it to compete with the Kindle Fire, and that's the whole point of doing it. So I don't think the lack of an LTE radio, that's not going to make any difference at all. I mean,
yeah, it won't.
I think a lot of people think they need it, and they don't use it that much. So being Wi-Fi only is definitely not – I mean, people are going to expect there's going to have a limited feature set.
Yep. Yeah, right, because, I mean, you're paying a much lesser price for it.
Yeah,
so.
It's – yeah, the whole reason to get it is because it's $299.
Right. Yep. The other thing that this was coming from the Guardian. This report was not the Gardener. my gardener told me this, guys, and I would.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's really in tune with what's going on in the Apple world, and he's fantastic at planting tomatoes. But the rumor that we're going to see an updated iPad 3, this seems absolutely ridiculous to me. I could be wrong, of course, but. It doesn't seem like Apple to update a product mid-cycle like this, just to add a better LTE radio and the Lightning connector. I mean, to me, it seems more likely that we're gonna see the iPad updated when the new iPad comes out, and we're gonna stay with the current iPad as it is. Do you guys think there's any credibility that we're gonna see an updated iPad?
I can see both sides on this. I mean, it does sound weird just because usually Apple with iOS devices, they update them once a year and that's it. They don't do like a small update. But also you have the iPad where it's more like a product like a MacBook rather than an iPhone, to where people think, you know, Apple won't be doing huge upgrade dates each year. They'll just be doing incremental updates just like they do with the MacBooks and the iMacs. So I think it could go either way. I'm not really sure.
Huh, interesting. Leander, thoughts?
Definitely BS. 100%. Just came out with a new iPad. They're not going to update it until.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, right? Because wouldn't you be pissed that, exactly. You know, you just bought a new iPad and now it's like, oh, here's another new iPad.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Only suckers like Bustier come out with a brand new iPad. 6 months later, yeah.
Well, I appreciate Bustier playing devil's advocate there.
Thanks for a better show.
Because for sure. I mean, sometimes I disagree with you guys just so this show remains interesting. Otherwise, I just say a sentence, we're all like, yep, 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 okay, next. We move on. All right, cool. Well, I hope they don't do that because, as I mentioned, I just bought a new iPad and I would be freaking furious. Well, when did it come out? April?
Oh, okay. I was
I'm sorry. I just, in the last 6 months, bought an iPad. I would be down to buy an iPad mini, though. That's for sure. In fact, I would maybe even consider selling my iPad to replace it with an iPad mini. Depends on what they release. The lack of an LTE radio actually would be kind of a bummer to me because I use it for business, but we shall wait and see. Let's talk about iPhone 5. Good news, bad news. iPhone 5 is selling well, but as many of you have probably heard, there have been fistfights at Foxconn.
Yeah.
And that's been rumored to slow down production rates. But not only that, those of you who follow me on Twitter, I'm not sure if I mentioned this in one of our previous shows, but you probably heard that some of the iPhone 5s that were being opened brand new had already had nicks on them and stuff. And sure enough, mine did. When I opened it, it had a pretty big nick right around the outer band and another smaller one right near the power button. And I took it to Apple and they, of course, replaced it, you know, and it was great. But Apple is reportedly...
Isn't that great that they believed you?
Yeah, especially because I had just dropped it outside their store. and I fumbled it with it for like 3 seconds, you know, like trying to catch it midair.
Catch it like a juggler, like Marceau.
Right. And then I walked in and I made an appointment for the Genius Bar. He's like, "Were you just outside?" And I was like, "No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me."
That's how great Apple is.
He's like, "Sorry, I saw you drop that." And I was like, "No, that wasn't me."
Well, that's how it is at Nordstrom's, right? And all the great stores. You know, you can walk in with a 15-year-old pair of shoes, and you can just say, "Yeah, they're kind of getting a bit loose in the sole now." You know, trying to trade them.
And they're like, "You're like, yeah," and they're covered in dog crap, and that's not cool at all. Like, I don't even know how that happened. I have to admit, I actually have done that before when I was younger. Yeah. Not
tried
cool.
The dog poo?
No. I returned a pair of shoes to Nordstrom's to get a new pair, and I'm not even totally sure at this point if they were from Nordstrom's. But you know, Nordstrom's is great. And hey, I'm not proud of this. I despise it when people do this now, especially at like retailers that have great return policies. But I thought I'd be honest and tell you I did it, and they gave me a brand new pair of shoes.
Glad you confessed, man.
Yeah. That's the way. Back to Apple stuff. Apple's turning the screws. They are tightening down their quality control, which is slowing down the production rates, of course, because now these people actually have to inspect the phones and probably handle them more gingerly, if you will. So we probably will see less phones coming out of the box with problems. But of course, if you haven't gotten your iPhone yet, do you guys know what the current lead times are? It's like it's still 3 to 4 weeks, right?
I have no idea anymore.
I mean, once you get your iPhone, you don't even care, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You're like, whatever, suckers.
Yeah, I got mine. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I don't care about it at all. But
we could look real quick on the internet.
Oh, yeah, that'd be.
All right, do that real fast while I wax poetic about how much I love my iPhone 5.
This might be a great time for an ad.
A great time for an ad? Yeah, you know what? We should do an ad while Leander's looking. Let me tell you guys about our sponsor, Audible. Because guess what? Who has time to read anymore? Buster, do you read? Actually, you do read.
You shouldn't ask me that. I majored in English literature.
Oh, you did? Well, that explains why you're so smart. But then there's me and Leander. I barely know how to read. I mean, you've seen my writing on cultamac.com. That's obvious. But we're busy. We're busy guys. Leonard has 13 kids. He doesn't have time to read a book. That's the great thing about Audible. Audible is the best place on the internet that I know about, truly, to buy audiobooks. And the audiobooks work on any MP3 player. It doesn't have to be an iPod. It could be a Zune, if you still have one of those sitting around somewhere. And they have over 100,000 titles from every possible genre you could think of. Romance, sci-fi.
Bromance.
That's my favorite genre for sure. And you know, if you want, you could check out one of my favorite audiobooks. I'm really into an author named Seth Godin. Have you guys heard of him?
Yeah.
You have? Okay, great. Seth Godin writes business marketing type books. I kind of consider him like a Jewish Yoda. He's a smaller man, but he's full of wisdom. And he speaks wonderfully. He's a wonderful orator, and the great thing about his audiobooks is he actually reads all of them himself, and he's done TED Talks and stuff. I mean, really, really great storyteller. And there's a book that I have been listening to called Tribes, and it's all about how we need people to lead us, like, and building communities around the things that you're doing. It's kind of like an entrepreneurial book. Like, if you're trying to build a business, what's the best way to go about doing that, and how to build a community around what it is you're doing. I love it. It's a fantastic business book. And if you go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, you can get that book 100% free. In fact, you can get any audiobook 100% free. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. And you know, every time you visit that link, you're sending Audible a message. You're saying, hey, Audible, we appreciate you sponsoring the Cultcast. We think it's a great show. We like listening to it, and we are happy that you're giving them money so that they can continue making the most ridiculous Apple podcast on the internet. And Audible says, hey, these Cultcast listeners, like, they really are thankful. Yeah, they really respond. So
that's a great point.
Yeah. So even if you don't sign up for an account, it really helps out. Just go check it out. audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. Let them know that you care about Leander's family.
My poor starving kids. I'm gonna put a picture.
His poor starving kids.
Pull their mouths open. I'm gonna drop
We should make that the podcast the cover image. Just find a picture of some really unfortunate looking kids, and we'll put that on the podcast. So I want to thank Audible for sponsoring. Really love their service. Hey, great suggestion for doing the ad read right there, Buster. Leander, did you find the lead time? What is it?
3 to 4 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. So it is still 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know you can go in there and you can get an iPhone 5, but it depends on your area. At my local Seattle one in the U District, you can walk down there in the morning and they're like, we have them every morning. But yeah, if you order it online, it's still kind of hard to get. Hey guys, I want to talk about a topic that you might find interesting, and I want to get your opinion on it. Let's talk about Passbook.
Okay.
This is an Alex Heath article, and the title is, "We want the MLB is saying we want to stop selling printed tickets, and Apple's Passbook is helping us get there." And it made me start really thinking about Passbook, because I kind of feel like it was one of those big touted features in iOS 6. And of course, once you updated, everyone pressed the Passbook icon, and you were taken to a page that kind of, or you're taken to the app, and it kind of showed you what Passbook will be able to do. But Passbook in itself doesn't really do anything as of yet. And at first they were just linking to apps that could use Passbook to store coupons, that type of thing. But that wasn't working either. So now it actually seems like you can download some apps that actually take advantage of Passbook. Have you guys been able to use it at all yet?
Yeah, Fandango the other day. Yeah.
Oh, so you did use it for Fandango. Tell us how your experience went, Leander.
It was great. It was awesome. And in fact, I bought the tickets for my kids and sent them off with somebody else to go see this movie. So I put it into my Passbook, and I was going to print it out, and I couldn't do that. So I just took a screenshot of it and emailed it to him, and he used that at the cinema. And Alex Heath is actually working on a story about this. It's like, you know, he thinks it's not the securest system.
No, yeah, you can get – I was like, oh, I can get free tickets to the movies all the time now.
How so?
Well, as long as
– Yeah, please do tell.
Okay, well, let's say a friend buys a ticket to the movie, right? And then it doesn't – Alex said that it didn't matter about the serial number. So you have your friend – buy a Passbook ticket, and then they send a screenshot to you, and then you put that in Passbook. So now you got two tickets.
Really?
Well, when they scan it at the cinema, it's going to go into their system and saying that ticket's being used.
Oh, they don't have scanners at the one that I used it at. They just looked at it.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of backwards cinema is
this
that?
This is Phoenix. We don't have fancy San Francisco technology, Leander.
Yeah. They don't have things like scanners. Scanners.
What do you call it? A QR code. So they don't scan the code. They just look at it? That's mad. Oh, well, there you go. Okay, sounds great.
Well, there now, if you're in Phoenix, you know you can use Passbook to steal tickets.
I only used it at one theater, and it wasn't like a nice theater. That's why I never go there, but it was one of the only ones that supports Fandango ticket purchases. Like, the major chain here doesn't, so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Well, the more I think about this, the more I'm like, Passbook obviously isn't working really well yet, and there's just not very many apps that take advantage of it. In fact, the list that they have on in the App Store is kind of small and dinky, and they're apps that like you're never going to use. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, this could be really cool. You know, like if Major League Baseball is getting behind it, I know Starbucks is getting behind it as well. I mean, imagine if you could go to any movie theater, any store, like even a grocery store, pull up, you know, like coupons that are like local and applicable to where you're at. It could turn into a really big thing for Apple.
It is doing that, isn't it? It has location-based alerts.
It does. Yeah. I just feel like there just aren't a lot of apps available for it yet. I mean, because Target has an app where you could, you know, download coupons and all that stuff, and they'll be available in Passbook. But, you know, like I need them for like my local, you know, grocery store.
Right. Because take a bit of time.
Huh?
And that's
it'll take a bit of time, but the infrastructure's there, right?
To do it.
Well, and of course, people have been talking about this forever, and if they can get it to work in Passbook with notifications, it would be great.
I'm hoping, like, if you tell businesses, like, oh, you guys should do this, then businesses will start catching on. Because, like, with the theaters here, it's Harkins Theaters and it's local. And so I emailed and told them, like, I would be buying a lot more movie tickets if you guys would support Passbook and everything like that. I could buy it remotely and not have to worry about being in line and everything like that. It'd be awesome. And so I'm hoping, you know, some businesses will jump on that train earlier.
Hmm. Think how cool it would be to walk in. You know, I get paper coupons all the time, right? They're stuffed in your mailbox, and you're like, what is this crap? And you normally just throw it into the recycle bin. But think how amazing it would be to walk into a store and have Passbook pop up, and they're like, oh, hey, you know, like all these different products are on sale. You can save money right now. And yeah. It makes the coupons actually usable, you know, and relative to what you're actually doing instead of just showing up at your door every day. And think how much money that could save the grocery stores. I mean, they probably spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars mailing out this crap that most people just throw away.
All right, totally. Yeah. Well, that's what the post office is keeping it alive these days, is mass mailings like that. But yeah, totally. I mean, like, I'd love to have like a sandwich rewards card, or the, you know, for the local coffee shop around the corner. They try to give me a ticket, and I'm like, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to carry that around.
Yeah.
Can I leave it here? And they won't let me leave it in the store.
Can I leave it here? I'm going to put it in this giant bin with a plastic bag in it. No, I'll be back for it, I swear.
Well, I've seen some places they have an index card system where they have they keep the people's cards right next to the register. It's much better.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That is a good idea. Yeah.
But they're few and far between. Then, of course, someone's got it. The poor schmuck behind the counter has to go searching through like a massive index of cards looking for someone's card, you know, every time they make it buy a 75-cent cup of coffee, and it drives all the other customers bonkers. But
well, let me ask you this. I mean, we've talked about Passbook before and how it could turn into a payment system that you know you could go into stores and pay with Passbook. Do you guys have any idea how Apple could transition from displaying your movie tickets when you get to the movie theater to collecting payments and letting you use your iPhone to pay for your coffee?
Say what again? What? I don't understand the question, I'm afraid. Probably because I'm not really paying attention. I'm sorry.
That was my fault.
Are you looking at pictures still, Leander?
I'm still looking at pictures.
We were before the show began, we were talking about the highly available quantity of nude pictures on 500pics.com. And I think that was a mistake. We shouldn't have brought that up with Leander before the show.
Can you hear my audio going glitchy every now and again as I'm downloading?
let me ask you again, and if you could avert your eyes from the areolas for a moment. Do you guys see how Apple could churn Passbook into a payment gateway? So, you know, Square has an app, right? And you are going to be able to go into Starbucks and swipe your phone over something. Who knows how it's going to work? And you'll be able to actually pay for real goods with your iPhone. I mean, do you guys see how Apple could transition to that with Passbook? Because I don't.
Yeah, Square system is even smarter than that. You don't even need you just send your picture to the retailer has a device like an iPad where they can bring up your picture when you go in. So you just tell them who you are.
Your device hits their Wi-Fi network. It's like, oh, are you Buster? Yeah, okay, bam. Like it's super easy with Square.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've never used it to actually pay for anything. I've only taken payments.
Oh, if you go to like San Francisco, everybody's using Square.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Leander, do you find a lot of places take Square when you're out and about?
Well, Buster, I totally misunderstood how the whole thing worked anyway, and Buster just set me right. And I only go to like two places, and neither of them, the local taqueria doesn't do it. And
really? Neither does the local strip club?
No.
It takes some of the magic out of it, right? I mean, because normally you put the dollars in the G-string, and when you have Square, what are you supposed to do with that?
I'd heard that people around here do it.
Yeah, when I was in San Francisco a few weeks ago, it was like the cab drivers were using it, and all the local, like the small eateries that we went to were using Square instead.
Interesting. I'm interested in trying it out. I mean, I do like Square. I'm a big fan of Square, actually. And Square has some of my credit cards linked to it, but so does Apple, obviously. I mean, so if you could just pay with the click of a button, that was something that would really interest me. I'm really eager to try out Passbook, but I feel like it has been slow to be adopted by a lot of places. I mean, pretty much only national companies have really taken advantage of it thus far.
Yeah, I've heard that like airlines, it's really cool with airlines to not have to worry about that as well.
That would be cool.
Always stressed out that I'm going to lose my ticket, sometime. It's never happened, but I'm the type that would do that.
Me too. I once lost my ticket between the security checkpoint and the gate.
Oh.
totally disappeared. I had absolutely no idea where it was. And at the last minute, I had to go to the counter and get a new one. And they're like, you lost it between security and the gate? And I'm like, yeah. That's me. That's me, bro. Get over it. Bomb.
You don't deserve to fly.
Yeah, that's what he said. And they didn't let me on the plane or give me a refund. Can you believe them? Jerks. Hey, let's wrap up with this. I asked you guys to come up with your favorite Mac app. And this is something I think we should start doing more often, because we so often talk about iPhone, we talk about iPad, because we love them and they're sexy and svelte. But, you know, we use our, well, actually, Leander doesn't anymore. We use our MacBooks every day. So I wanted you to come up with one app that you really love and use a lot, so we can kind of share those with our listeners. Because we have our thumbs on the pulse of the Apple community, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Buster and I do anyway. Leander, why don't you start? I know you did. I know that you recently got rid of your MacBook, but
I gotta figure it out real quick.
Okay, well then, Buster, you start. Right. And remember, we're not voting on this. This is just a show and tell. Show and tell. Show us what you got. Tell us about it.
I guess my favorite app lately would be Pixelmator. Is that how you say it?
I think so. Yeah.
I haven't ever bothered to learn how to use Photoshop, but. Pixelmator works pretty well, and it's simple to use. So, you know, it's more advanced than like Microsoft Paint, but not too confusing.
Yes, very much more advanced.
But I could do some magic in Microsoft Paint. It's just I don't understand the interfaces for, you know, these new image editing programs and stuff like that. So I've been trying to use Pixelmator a lot more now that I don't have a PC. Work my Microsoft Paint magic.
Well, now I noticed that in one of your posts recently, it was actually the EarPods post that you did, right?
Okay.
You got a tip that from one of our readers on Cult of Mac that said, "Hey, you know the packaging that comes with the iPhone 5 looks like an icon."
Oh yeah,
and
that
you
was
shrunk
John
it down.
That did that, but yeah.
Oh, was that John? Oh, I thought that was you.
Yeah. No.
So I thought that was your Photoshop magic.
No, John does Photoshop magic pretty well, you know.
That was really good. Yeah, yeah. Powerful piece. And, you know, of course, the end result was that, yes, indeed, it does look exactly like an icon, which I know sounds silly, but I thought it was kind of cool. I was like, wow, if you shrink it down and put it on an iPhone 5 screen, it looks exactly like every other icon. And that's something that no other company does that, unless it's Samsung, in which case they're copying Apple. But it's like, it's such an attention to detail, isn't it? I mean, you don't even, it's something that you may not even notice. I never did.
Yeah. No.
So okay. Cool. Pixelmator.
What tipped him off? Was it the rounded corners?
Yeah. There's rounded corners, so it looks just like an icon. I'll send you the link. Seems how you weren't reading.
No, I didn't see it.
You should read it, Leander. It's on this website called cultofmac.com.
Can you spell that
for me? Yeah. KULT.
Apparently, all
right. Huh?
Well, isn't the plastic insert on the thing? Biodegradable too.
Yeah, they were saying it just like it melts in water or something like that.
Yeah, I think that was Mashable reporting on that, and I saw a picture of it.
We don't go to that site.
Yeah, no. But I don't think what you guys knew is that after it degrades, if you like mix it with some spices, it makes a delicious stew.
Ooh, I was hoping
try
to pump in spice latte.
try that at home. I guarantee you won't get sick. Leander, are you ready? Because if not, I can go.
Well, I was going to say Log Me In, which is sort of, you know, it's a VNC app for remote access. And and I guess, you know, it's an app on your iPad, but you have to download a client onto your Mac. So I've got an iMac at work, which sits in the office, and it's on, you know, I put it into sleep mode when I'm not at work. And if I need to do something on the machine, I can just call it up on the app on my iPad at home. And, you know, I've been using it for about a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've just recently upgraded it. And it's really, really good. It's totally reliable. It's really easy to use. It's a very clever interface on the app. So it makes scrolling around, getting around the screen, the 27-inch screen, really easy to do. It was a bit tricky at first because it kind of simulates a mouse with a left and right click. But I got used to it pretty quickly. And, you know, it's great. That's why I don't need to have a machine at home. If there's anything I need to do a computer for, you know, I can just call up Log Me In and get onto my machine at work and then do anything that I need to do there.
Huh, interesting. Okay, that sounds great. You know, we need to do this again because I have probably about five apps that came to mind immediately when I was choosing, but this is the one that I found the most useful lately. I have started becoming a big fan of managing my money. I know it sounds weird, but that means I'm looking at my money every day. I'm seeing where I spend it, you know, doing some budgets, that type of thing. And so I downloaded or I started using this app called Mint. You guys have probably heard of it. It's it's an online application that lets you manage your money very easily. It's beautiful, beautiful UI. Mint released probably in the last 2 months, I think, an app in the App Store, on the Mac App Store, that you can download that lets their application live in your top bar. So it has a little money sign, and whenever a new transaction comes through, it pops up with like a one or a two or a three, like a badge that shows you how many different transactions that you need to look at or are new. And then you can click on it and it brings up a brilliant view of what's going on with all your bank accounts, where your money's being spent. You can see like bar graphs and wheels of graphics of, you know, what you're spending on and budgets and all this kind of thing. And it's super easy. It makes managing your money much easier. And it makes me do something that I was always hesitant to do in the past, which was actually look on a daily basis at what was going on with my money. Because, you know, if you wait too long, you know, you get these weird transactions. It's like Terry's G-String Hut. And you're like, what did I spend $300 at Terry G-String Hut? Like, I don't remember. But if you categorize it right when it happens, you're like, oh, yes, the G-String Hut. I remember that now. And you can categorize it under, you know, underwear. Because apparently that's what you buy at Terry's G-String Hut. So that's my pick. Like I said, you can download it in the Mac App Store. It's free, which is my favorite price.
I actually had a lot of problems with it, you know, at least the web version of it. It kept on, like, you know, disconnecting from my accounts. And, like, I got so sick of having to go in there and reconnect them up again and resync them.
Yes. You know, that is a problem, though. A lot of these companies use a service that that connect them to your bank accounts. And that is a problem with all of them. Like, none of them do it perfectly. And you will have that problem with Mint, too. In fact, on one of my credit cards yesterday, it was like, we have had problems connecting to your credit card. And sometimes their web access things go down and there's just nothing you can do. It's just kind of like goes with the territory. But the Mint app, when it is connected to everything, works brilliantly. So there you go. That's it. That's all the time we have today. I want to thank Audible for sponsoring the show. Make sure you head to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast for your free audiobook. Let them know that you care about us. And hey, you should join us on our Facebook page. We have a lot of interaction there with our listeners. You can suggest topics, ask us questions. That's facebook.com/thecultcast. I would love if you hopped on and told us your favorite Mac apps. I'd love to see what you guys think. The conversation also continues on Twitter. We have lots of fun on Twitter. Leander's L. Caney Buster, who has fabulous tweets, is BST3R. I am at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news and how-tos in the Apple world, Cult of Mac is on Twitter as well. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We will catch you next time. Let me throw this out, guys, because I was thinking about this earlier today, and I want to see what you guys think about it before I let you go. So we're going to be at CES before you know it. I was thinking that all of us could grow mustaches.
Oh my
and we could be like the Cult of Stash, and everyone. And then no one would think anything of it when we were all like out on the floor reporting stuff. But then when we were all together, everyone would be like, "Why does everyone from Cult of Mac have a mustache? What do you guys think?" Buster, you already have one. All you need to do is define it. All you need to do is lose the cheek and chin portions of it.
I look so stupid with a mustache.
Oh, man. I bet you look really good.
No, it's
Leander would be the creepy one.
Yeah, I look so stupid anyway, but then add a mustache, it's going to put me over the edge.
You know, like, John would probably jump on that idea, though, because he's sophisticated.
He is very sophisticated. Yeah, I think you're right. What do you guys think?
I thought we were all going to wear khakis and, like, a nice blue shirt with a Coldermat logo on it and get nice, clean, square.
No. That's so unoriginal. You can't just walk around with a polo shirt and a Cult of Mac logo on it.
We could just wear Speedos instead.
would actually be much better. And then the Cult of Mac logo would be like on the back left cheek.
Or just on the wiener area. Right there. Let me give you an exclusive. Boom.
Well, that's a great idea too. But, you know, the convention center gets cold.
Oh,
so,
it does.
We may want to have clothes on sometimes, and a mustache is something that, you know, would look good. The ladies would like it. I guarantee you, your wife will love it, Leander.
She had it last one I tried to grow.
She what?
She had it the last one I tried to grow. It smelled bad. It was like a nasty little sort of possum on my face.
I'll consider it. It doesn't take me long to grow one. So.
No, I bet yours would look better than anyone else's.
I'll probably have a beard around that time, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we should do it. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome? Like, we're all at, like, one of these after things, like PepCom, and we walk in and we all have a mustache.
it would be
impossible to ignore.
Day, but I would shave it the next day.
That'd be fine. It'd be Scoop City. People would be like, why is that entire team of Magnum PIs, you know, in here? They look awesome. Give them the scoop now.
Mine looks more like one of those, like, old Chinese prophets, you know, the sort of
dragon. No, does it?
Yeah. Well, this is an awesome idea. Let's just
consider it. I'll bring it up once we get closer. We have to sway Charlie too, because Charlie, I think, is coming.
Okay, awesome.
All right, but that's it for now, guys.
All right,
we'll bring it up a later date. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, see you.
Bye.